During that game in Munich last week, I got a text off one of Pogba's family, and it just said, different animal.
You know, Mancini has wanted everyone to have fun, you know.
For the best Euro 2020 coverage, download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the OTB Football Podcast.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetSetGo. Car insurance is boring, but saving money bounces it into brilliance. Enter promo code SPORT and save €40 off your car insurance with GetSetGo.ie.
Now, very happy to say James Horan, senior football manager with Mayo, of course, joining us. He's promoting Air Grid. They're announcing a five-year partnership extension for the GAA official timing sponsorship. So Air Grid, the state-owned company that manages and develops Ireland's electricity grid to deliver a cleaner energy future, now in its sixth year as the official timing partner of the GAA. And of course, Mayo get their championship campaign underway this weekend. Sligo, 4:30 on Saturday. Leitrim await the winner in the Connacht semi-final. Very happy to say James Horan joins us. James, great to have you with us.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Been very well. I'm very well. We used to talk all the time and now we never hear from you.
We've grown apart, Joe.
You do tend to keep a low-ish profile. I would put you in the category of a Jim Gavin or a Brian Cody or maybe a John Kiely type. I don't expect ever to open a newspaper and see a feature interview with you. Why do you keep a low profile?
I suppose as manager of an intercounty team, what you're trying to do is whatever is right for the team at that time or whatever, you know, and you know, during a National League campaign or whatever, there isn't probably that much to talk about that's of interest to people really, or that would serve any purpose for you know, from a team point of view. So you get caught up in working with the team and training and planning training and reviewing training and, you know, getting ready for the next game, and that's where the focus is. And now that the league campaigns are over, it's great. Looking forward to the championship and you know, playing hopefully in the sunshine. And just really, really looking forward to it. So.
Would you consider it a distraction? Would you consider it potentially, you know, no good can come of this? I either do a nice interview and nothing good, you know, nothing bad happens, or I say the wrong thing and it's used against me down the line. Is that your attitude to it as well?
Not necessarily, Joe. Hopefully I don't say the wrong thing too often when I'm being interviewed, but I suppose there's a mix, and when it comes into championship season, I think particularly where we are in the last couple of years, yeah, with, you know, players or people not being able to go to games, I think it's interesting for people maybe to have get some feel of maybe where a team is at coming into championship or what's going on or what's the thoughts. So I think it's about maybe getting that sort of balance right, you know, that it sort of nearly promotes the game in one way if there's an interview to be done. You know, no, it won't be, I won't be doing interviews every day of the week or whatever, but just maybe something for people as championship is around the corner and it gets a bit of a feel good factor going and people are looking forward to games. So I think, you know, an odd interview here or there just maybe helps people.
And where are you and your players doing them? Because I would feel, since you've come in, Mayo's always a big story and there's lots of hype and there's often a bit of a circus around it. I felt like you came in and tried to put a bit of coolant on the whole thing again and calm everything down a touch. That is my sense.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. There's a huge amount of column inches written about Mayo and sometimes you don't want or need to or should add to that, or, you know, sometimes some of it is complete, in my opinion, complete and utter rubbish. And if you could go on and maybe try and counter some stuff but you're only adding fuel to the fire in that context. So sometimes you know less is better, and you just let things go. But look, we've some players involved in certain things, and we try and help that as well. But we just don't want to maybe add noise into the system that isn't of benefit to anyone.
Yeah. You must meet lots of Mayo fans. What's the most common thing you tend to get?
That's a good question. It all depends how the games are going.
What are you at, Horan? What were you thinking?
But by and large, and I mean, look, there's in every walk of life, there's a range of opinions and thoughts. But by and large, the Mayo people are people that I meet. You know, I walk around Brafey House quite a bit in the evenings. I live beside it, and you'd meet quite a few people. They're very, very proud of their team, and they're very proud of how hard they work and how they try to play the game, I think. And you know, there's an air of enthusiasm now with some of the quality of the younger players that are coming in, and that appreciation of the guys that left, you know, in January this year. So I think just a sense of enthusiasm and pride in their team, which is, you know, brilliant to hear. So that's by and large the majority. You know, the other stuff that comes too, but that's part and parcel.
You're now into your third year of, I think, a 4-year agreement or deal or contract. I don't even know what you call it when it comes to inter-county managers, but 3 or 4 years. So pretty strange. I mean, you wouldn't have anticipated that 2 of the 4 years would be straight knockout championship.
Yeah.
Possibly worked to your advantage last year. A lot of big names caught out early on. Mayo got through. How do you feel about these, you know, 2 of 4 years being knockout? How do you like or dislike knockout?
It's sort of not that you like or dislike knockout. The last 2 years have been crazy in that we didn't know if we'd be training on a Tuesday or next week or the week after, or games would be allowed, or it was going to be completely gone altogether, particularly last year. And even this year, when it was going to start, when we were going to be allowed back training and all that kind of stuff. So I think that's definitely opened maybe or altered the sort of approach a little bit, in that we'll be delighted when we're training to get out in the field. It's the safest place you can almost be, and sort of where you're happiest. So we were just looking forward to that. And then when you get to play a game at the weekend, that's great as well. So we've definitely looked at it that way. And I suppose appreciation is a word that springs to mind of the opportunity to play and to train, because we didn't think we'd have it for quite a period of time. So genuine, just enjoying the chance to play. And if that's knockout or abbreviated or night games or whoever we're playing, what division, it doesn't matter. We're happy to be playing. Mm-hmm. And that's the overriding approach, I think, that's been there. And, you know, as a result of the sort of pandemic and the restrictions that were in place, that's the way it just evolved.
Yeah. So how often are you getting together for pitch sessions now at the moment, on an average week? 2-3 times?
An average week would be two pitch sessions, and sort of whether it's a game or whether it's a sort of an in-house game or whatever at the weekend. It's that sort of model.
Okay.
That we're following. Individual gym sessions would be separate to that, etc. But that's the general model, yeah.
Okay. So in that sense, when you're out doing a pitch session, things are kind of pretty normal. You can have that, you know, one-on-one moment with a certain player who needs an arm around the shoulder, or someone else who needs to kick up the backside. You can still, you know, interfere in the way that you want as a manager, give or take.
Yeah. Yeah. As I said, on the pitch is the best place to be. You know, again, with the restrictions, dressing rooms, you know, meeting rooms, all that is very minimized.
Okay.
You arrive to a certain extent ready to train. So all that time, etc., has been minimized. And there's some benefits, to that as well. And that, you know, the whole training, I suppose, session isn't as time consuming as it maybe was a couple of years ago. And time you arrive, the time you, etc., various meetings or video reviews or whatever. Some of that now is, you know, spread out through Zoom or through different mediums, which minimizes maybe the amount of time that the players need to be away from home or their partners or whatever. Well, so there's some sort of benefits.
Well, especially with all your boys working in Dublin and things like that, you know, probably makes a big difference to them. So I suspect you've watched the All-Ireland final of last year a few times. What was the biggest factor in the loss?
Looked at it once. Nothing to measure. Took as we go. Key things from it. We did a lot right. A lot strong. we need to look at what I took from it in general. You're always looking at what you can build into the next training session, basically. So there's certain elements of the game that we're looking to get better at as quickly as we can. So we're working on that, and we're working on that hard. And
can you tell me what they are, or is that off limits?
It's a bit of everything, Joe. But there's some key areas that we feel we can make great gains on.
Such as?
Well, look, you're always looking to improve your skills, decision making. Every team is doing that. How your structure, all that kind of stuff. So some of those basic things. But you try and improve those. But we're trying to add to an awful lot of those key areas.
Yeah, look, I guess it helps when they have the likes of Mannion and Howard to come off a bench. That doesn't hurt any team. So I'm sure, like, with your coaches, all you're watching what everyone's doing very keenly. Are Dublin doing things that are more innovative tactically, or is their success still just largely down to quality of player?
Look, Dublin have very good players. They're a very good team. How they work for each other, how hard they work, all those kind of things. But they have top quality players as well. You know, I'm not saying anything that no one that follows GAA doesn't understand. Their game plan or their tactics are. You know, they're there to be seen. Everyone analyzes their games. The way they play, it's a fairly, not fairly, but it's a straight system that they play and how they defend. But at an individual level, I'd say they're very, very strong. And the coaching that they've gone through and how they've improved over the years is very strong. And that's a function of the coaching and their commitment to it. So they're. Their continuous improvement is very impressive that way. But you know, there's lots of teams pushing really hard to improve and develop, and that's what makes it exciting every year. And you know, as I said, we're happy from our side that we think we can make big gains quickly. Mm-hmm. So we're just excited about the championship ahead, and you know, who knows.
You mentioned that bit of experience in the third quarter against Clare down in Ennis. Things got a bit ragged. So you mentioned January as well earlier. So the likes of Keith Higgins, Chris Barrett, Shane O'Shea, Donald Vaughan, Tom Parsons, David Clark, probably somebody else I'm forgetting. It was like Mayo month. I mean, every night in the show, it was like, who's next? Is anyone left? Who's turning out the lights? Did you try and convince any of them to stay?
Look, I talked to each of those players, and you know, when you work with them so long, work with some of those guys so long, you know what they're thinking or where they're at in their lives, etc. So we sat down and had a chat, and each and every one of those players that you mentioned, you know, the commitments, what they've put in, where they're living, their careers, a lot of them very progressive guys. Lots of kids knocking around at this stage as well. All that mix. There was a natural end to it. So if you're asking, could some of those guys have done a job this year for me? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. In my opinion, they're that good and they're that committed. You know, from a lifestyle point of view, etc. So, But it was absolutely what was right for those guys was what was foremost.
We had Keith Higgins on the show a couple of weeks back, and he's very complimentary of you, by the way, and everything that goes with the setup. But he was saying, you know, he felt himself, you know, you've Oisin Mullen running by me, and he could sense it, and you know, All Ireland final, he's thinking maybe I could make an impact here, and the call doesn't come. For you on a personal level, that must be a pretty horrible thing. This guy's been such a stalwart, such a brilliant player, and you have to ultimately trust your judgment that I just don't quite think it's the right call to put you in. And yet on a human level, you must think to yourself, oh my God, Keith Higgins, everything he's done for Mayo, I wish I didn't have to, you know, leave you on the bench type thing. Talk to us about that side of management.
Yeah, and I suppose, again, when you're dealing with players, players are the first to know. They know, you know, they know where they are relative to their peers. They know what's going on. So deep down, they know. And again, when you work with people so so much, you get, you know, there's a very good appreciation of where things are at. I don't know if you've seen Keith play hurling this season yet.
The whole country hears how good he is, and no one's really seen him. So I mentioned him.
I saw a couple of clips when we were in around the stadium. Just a phenomenal athlete and player. And you know, hurling, like the commitment he gave to football over the years was amazing, because hurling's a huge love of his, huge passion of his, and his family. And you know, he, to a certain extent, he put football up front. So it's brilliant that he gets the time now to play a game that he loves, and he glides in hurling as well as he did in football. So
and does not picking him say in that moment? I'm not making this about Keith Higgins, by the way, but he's a good example, because everyone knows how great he is. Are you at a stage now as a manager where you don't feel that guilty about that? That doesn't eat you, like, you're experienced enough. That's just the deal. Or would you still, in the couple of days around the final or afterwards, think, oh God, still wasn't nice leaving some of those guys out?
Ah, look, there's always certain times, and it's, you don't really make decisions based on age or whatever. It's based on performance, and you know, as long as that sort of criteria is clear and clear to everyone, I think it makes it simpler.
Okay.
Excuse me. So, but of course, there's times you feel, and if you feel that you know, you need to chat to certain players after it or whatever to go through, well, then that's something we'd always do. Mm. But it's based on performance, and there's clear criteria around it. I suppose as clear as you can make it, and I think that makes it more straightforward.
Helps you can sleep at night that way, I suppose. I guess it's the tough part of the job. The other tough part of the job, obviously, injuries. So Killian O'Connor, Achilles, I don't know anything more than Achilles. You read different things. Is his season pretty much gone now?
Yeah, Killian won't be involved for the foreseeable future. So this season. So yeah, we plan and we move on accordingly. And luckily, we've a lot of players pushing hard for that slot. So there's been a good reaction. Look, it's just very disappointing for Killian, and overall for the group. But we, you know, Killian would be the first, and I know you know anyone that knows Killian, how much he'd expect others to push up and push on, and that's exactly what we're seeing. So it's a great response.
How do you decide now something as important as free taking duty?
Yeah, look, you obviously straight away you're talking. We have a number of free takers. We're looking in that regard, you know, from Paul Towey from the under 20s to Ryan, who also takes, and Ryan O'Donoghue to Darren Cohn to Jason Doherty, who's pushing hard after his injury. So we've quite a few high level free takers. So again, they all, as they always do, they're practicing hard and ready to go whenever called on. So we're looking from that regard, but again, it's, you know, team selection has to happen this week, et cetera, and things lead from there.
Yeah, okay. Because I was reading a piece in the Sunday Times. It was about Killian O'Connor. I mean, it's so cruel. It was on the morning of the Clare game, and it was marking his 100th Mayo appearance. You know, which is a phenomenal achievement, along with his other achievements. And it was referencing when he first came on the scene. I think it was free taking, in effect, trial between the various contenders in training, and he stood out. Is that how you might kind of do it now? Let's get together. I'm watching. Let's put a bit of heat on you boys. Let's see who takes the freeze.
Shoot out 50 balls each, and whoever scores the most.
I've heard worse ways.
Yeah, not quite. Again, our trainings would be hugely game based.
Okay.
And there's people always taking freeze. Okay. So we've ready made replacements there. We're very, very lucky in that regard. So again, it's just we see what team selection brings and we go from there.
Do you know you're 15 yet in your head?
We've trained it tonight, Joe. there's a stock answer for you. So we've trained tonight. And again, look, there's always a natural sort of distillation process coming closer to championship games, and you have a good idea, but there's always room for change.
So that's full out tonight. Then we'll do, I don't know, however long a training match, and it's right. Convince me, people, full out, few days, you know, however many days out from the Sligo game. You won't be saying, kind of, take it easy out there, fellas.
No, absolutely not. There's okay. there's there's um, there's always behaviors you're looking for every time you play or train or whatever. So we'll be looking for those again tonight.
I was reading in that piece, Killian O'Connor came on the scene. Was that around the Rice Slip game, like pretty much your first game? Was that when he was kind of on the scene?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Jeez, I mean, the Horan era could have been over before it started.
The shortest intercontinental managerial career of all time.
And did he emerge as a leader that day? Is that right? Because I was reading that, I wasn't quite sure.
Yeah, we quite a subs bench that day. We had him, Aidan O'Shea, Kevin McLaughlin, all on the sideline. It's funny. So I think, yeah, there was a couple of pictures of that knocking around for his 100th
okay.
cap, actually. So we still have a bit of fun about that encounter. So it was an interesting time.
I'm sure it was. Why are you still doing this? Because you stepped away and you did your media, and I'm sure it was less stressful. And then you got sucked in again at a time when people thought, oh, this great team is coming to the end and there's going to be a rebuilding process, and that rebuilding process is underway. So why did you go back in? Why do you love it? What is it that keeps sucking you back in to doing this? Because I'm sure you could walk around Brafe with some less stressful thoughts and, you know, have an easier life in some way. So what is it about this whole thing that you clearly love?
I suppose I love the game of football. I think it's a brilliant game. There's a bit of everything in it. But I suppose fundamentally, I love working with the guys to develop them or help them or get them better. So that's fundamentally what I love doing.
Okay.
Working with players or people or whatever it is, from a coaching point of view, and helping them along the way. There's great buzz out of that. And, you know, last year we had that obvious development of some of them. So that was a huge kick off that. Mm. So that's a big part of it. For sure. And working with a group of people that are so focused and looking to improve, it's just a great environment to be part of. And just really love being involved in it.
Do you like match day? Do you like Croke Park, 80,000 having to make split second decisions, or is that quite stressful?
You like to be tested, and, you know, whether you're a player or a manager or whatever it is, you know, to be tested at the highest level under the greatest pressure. And you know, sometimes you're not sure how you react till you're in that situation. So,
yeah.
So being tested there, again, it's a great buzz. And yeah, for sure, big game day is where you want to be.
And you must have got, I mean, that must be an aspect. So there's one thing coaching, and there's another thing picking the team and dealing with players and man management and a gazillion other things, I'm sure. The one thing I guess you can't kind of cheat or short circuit is building up experience of making decisions in Croke Park in big games, you know, just watching a game, digesting everything, knowing the right move at the right time. You must be so much better at that now than you were when you first started.
Well, you're learning every day. Every time you genuinely are, and you know, training sessions at the weekend, you know, in games, in small sided games or whatever, you're looking at things all the time. And look, we reflect after every session or after every game as a coaching team, management team, to see, you know, how things went, or, you know, did that work? Did this work? If it did, why? If it didn't, why not? And so we're constantly reflecting to try and learn from every decision that we make, whether they worked or not. Just look at the reason why. So we spend a lot of time trying to develop that way. So hopefully we're improving as we go along.
I'd imagine that aspect is so difficult. We had Liam Griffin on a couple of months back, and he had a great just feature interview about his career, and he talked about the 96 All Ireland final with Wexford, obviously, and he said that his aim, and he worked on it in advance of the final, was to be the calmest man in Croke Park. That was, he said, that's my ambition today. I'm going to be ultra calm throughout. Do you try and get in a, you know, lower headspace and work on your breathing on the sideline and stuff like that? Or do you go with the game? And if I want to roar at the ref, I roar at the ref. And if I want to get pent up, I'm going for it. What's your attitude to how you conduct yourself on the sideline? Yeah. Like Jim Gavin sipped water. That was as much as we got from him. What's your approach out there?
I think it's change from season to season, to be honest, and sometimes it's evolving, maybe I don't know, for the better, but sometimes it depends, but definitely I think sometimes, you know, as I said earlier on, sometimes you might only be, you know, on game day, you might only be adding noise to the system. And is that of any benefit to the players, or is it of any benefit to the subs that are behind you? You know, so you're conscious. So my overriding rule, and I haven't been maybe not great on it, is I think the more composed perhaps you are, maybe that's the where the best benefits are. So a bit of work to do there.
But then look, who knows? There can be a cult to this. Just because Jim Gavin was super quiet, everyone thought that's the way to do it. Like Alex Ferguson wasn't quiet. Do you know what I mean? So there's a right and a wrong. You can probably coach a bit more from the sideline without the crowds at the moment.
You can, you can't, Joe. You know, we're not allowed mere foreigners now as well. Run on with the message. You know, it's a very big pitch. You know, so if I'm trying to shout over at the far side of the pitch,
okay.
So I pass it to A to B to get to C. It's you know, the Chinese whispers might happen, so that can be difficult. So you know, just getting messages on is more difficult even without the crowd there. You know, when a player is in a place and someone's shouting from 60 yards away, is that of benefit to the player? You know, as opposed to being able to say it directly to him in a clear way. So we're just, you know, you're always looking at things like that to try and work on.
Come here, just a last one, because obviously you're a great thinker on the game. The offensive mark, no one seems to love it. Are you anticipating, are we going to see some like set piece moves within open play now where, you know, there's two or three triggers and a bit of movement and there's an easy pop pass into someone's chest and they have a free shot? Is that going to come in this summer, do you think, or is that not as easy as I'm portraying it?
It's probably not as easy, Joe, but you would think that. Firstly, I don't think it's something that should be in the game, to be honest. The mark, I think it's potentially reduces the amount of goal chances that are created. You know, you might have a forward that wins a ball and, you know, there's a 35-yard curler on, as opposed to if he spun and popped it to a guy in the show. You know, like, so from that regards, I think it takes from the game a little bit. But for sure, there's you know, if you have a certain player inside that's very quick, or that's a very good ball winner, that's a good free taker, you know, there's a couple of of things you might try and clear out to create more opportunities for him. So I'm sure there's every team are looking at aspects of that.
Yeah, and do you like the mark from the kickouts, the kind of ones around midfield?
It's probably helped the game a little bit, I'd say, overall. It's very different to the attack mark because, you know, if you think back, there's usually on long kickouts, the break zone forms very quickly with numbers there. You could have a guy with a very good catch and comes down and surrounded and the ball was turned, you know, the ball was a free against forward carrying or whatever. So I think there's a slight reward there for feeling. So I think that's there's merit in that, and it's added slightly, yeah.
Okay. Well, listen, the fun and games are kicking off. So Sligo, 4:30 Saturday. Leitrim are waiting the semi-final, and beyond that, who knows? So James Horan, once again, very best of luck for the season ahead. You were here, as I said, Air Grid announcing their 5-year partnership extension with the GAA as their official timing sponsorship. James Horan, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetZetGo. Car insurance is boring, but saving money bounces it into brilliance. Enter promo code SPORT and save €40 off your car insurance with GetZetGo.ie.